Father, we thank you for the privilege, Lord. For truly, Lord, I will not take it lightly, Lord God, to speak your word tonight. But Father, just one word, Lord, that the hearer can receive tonight. And Lord, that will just, that's all it takes, Lord, for you to move. So thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lately, we've been preaching about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to go with that flow. The title of my message, which Lag gave me, is The Works of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit is there to come and comfort us, right? Encourage us, counsel us. Amen? And we do need the comfort of the Holy Spirit, yeah, when we are down emotionally, physically, even as well spiritually. He doesn't come and condemn us when we are beaten down. Because sometimes we do feel that way, especially when you did something wrong and the enemy comes and condemns you, but then you thinking that it is God, because I've been there. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. Well, praise God for a renewed mind. Hallelujah. So, but he comes to lift us up, comforts us, and strengthen us. And he is also a teacher. And he comes to instruct us. Amen? You know, as a teenager growing up, yeah, in high school, I was never really good at following instructions. I don't know if you guys do, but I wasn't very good at that. Okay? So the teacher would be teaching and giving instructions. And I would be hearing, but not listening. You know what I mean? I can hear them, but I'm not listening. You know, my mind is someplace else. I can hear them. Yeah. And then my wife kind of reminded me of one time. See, I was in this economic class. Yeah. And prior to the day that we have this thing going on, we have the teacher giving us instructions. And of course, like I said, I'm not a good follower of instruction. So when the day came, I didn't do the instructions. And I went to class, and the teacher found out, and I got kicked out. I went outside. He told me to go outside. And I wasn't able to participate what was going on, which is cooking and eating. So I was out looking in, unable to participate what's going on inside. Amen? You get that? You got that? We should not be outside looking in what God is doing. Amen. So yeah, I was not that good listener. So you know, when test comes, yeah, I would just be winging it, and I would just be passing with C's and D's, and that's how I passed high school. Actually, C's and D's. I was the only thing I was good at is PE, which I would get straight A's. I enjoyed that, but all the other subjects, didn't really want to learn. These are Philippians 4, 6, verse 6 and 7, a very familiar verse. And you guys know it probably by heart, some of you. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And a peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The NLT says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Praise God. Okay. Have you ever experienced or even experiencing troubled heart or troubled mind?
I have.
Yeah? You know, when you are in that situation, your heart is heavy. And the weight of it is unbearable. Yeah? Maybe because of your own situation, your kids, husband, wife, or even a very close friend or relative or whatever it might be, okay? But you are carrying this heavy burden. Okay, as you are carrying this burden, and then, you know, you hear this voice telling you, calling unto you, come up here to me. But then, because you're so overwhelmed with what you're going through, it took you several times to hear that voice and until you heed to that voice. You know what been there? Yeah? Amen. And that was the Holy Spirit calling you. Okay? So, I put a mountain. Say you begin to climb that mountain and get to the top with a heavy weight on your shoulder. Okay. Okay, being the top is where the presence of God, presence of the Lord is. Yeah? But how many of you know climbing the mountain with a heavy load is hard? Yeah? You will eventually get up there, but it will take time. Yeah? It's like going through the door carrying the suitcases or bags on both of your hands, like what Pastor Carol so powerfully preached about. You remember that? Yeah? Yeah. That was powerful. So, it will take time to reach that mountaintop. Okay? Once you get there, you know, because I have experienced this. You know when you're heavy, like you're climbing the mountain, it's hard. It's hard to go beyond your flesh. Because you're dealing with this and it's hard to go through the break through the veil of your flesh. But you know what? Once you get there, like I said, because all the things that you're going through, it took some time. But once you get there, man, once you begin to be in the presence of God, you begin to minister to Him, telling Him, thank you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you that you are my, you know, my strength. You're my peace. You're my deliverer. Yeah? And then you can just feel this weight begin to kind of weather down. Yeah? Yeah? You begin to feel that. And then the more you stay in His presence, man, the feeling of that, right? You've been there, right? You know, when you come before God, I mean, that is staying in this presence. And they just, I don't know, just be there and receive. And you begin to cry. And sometimes you laugh. And the heaviness is so gone. Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
In fact, I mean, you know, when today, well, yet last night, actually, when you was ministering, you know, my pastor, there was such an anointing. I mean, you could hear a pin drop. Nobody was talking at all. Normally, people talk, you know, when they minister, especially in a funeral, yeah? They talk, but when you was there, I mean, the anointing was so heavy. But the oil is expensive, yeah? Yeah, it's very expensive. And God said that you've been buying oil, expensive oil. Yeah. That's the reason why. Because you paid the price. See, it is not the oil, the anointing that doesn't come. There's a price that you gotta pay to get the anointing, the oil. Yeah? And then that's what God revealed that to me. So go, wow, God. Amen. I hope you it encourage you. So you up there, and begin to thank God and then all your the feelings that you had, all the heaviness is gone, and then you get up and you leave. Yeah? But, okay, where am I? Okay, so, but then you leave. But you have forgotten the reason why that God wanted you up there. I mean, yeah, he wanted you to be delivered, but there's a reason. There's some instruction that God wanted you to have, to hear, so that you can be delivered, or whoever that the burden you had for, that you can deliver what that message would be. Because I've been there. I mean, once I got the relief, okay, thank you, Lord, and I leave. Anybody done that? Yeah? Amen. You have not stayed long enough at his presence so that he can give you the instructions concerning your situation. Because your situation has not changed. Yeah? Your problem has not changed. You got changed. I mean, you got relieved. Yeah? Isn't that right? But your situation is still the same thing. Amen. See, we must be like Moses there in Exodus 24, verse 12. In the NLT says, the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. Okay? Stay there. And I will give you the tablets of stones on which I have inscribed the instruction and commands so that you can teach the people. See, that's the reason why we go to the mountain, yeah? Not to just get relief, but instruction. Okay? Remember the Holy Spirit come to teach and instruct us, right? Notice that God says, stay there until I give you the instructions. Okay, so we need to stay at his presence long enough and not be in a hurry. Yeah, because when you are in a mountain, there are people on a valley. Right? There are people in the valleys. Okay, they could be your kids, your spouse, member of your church, family, and so on. And those instructions are for them so they can come out of their situation to guide their lives and live a continual victory. Amen. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 23, the Amplified says, the steps of a good man, a righteous man, are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way, blesses his path. Okay. So the Holy Spirit instructs us in the way we should go. Amen. Okay. So that's one way that the Holy Spirit to help us is to teach and instruct us. Yes. Amen? Amen. Am I making sense? Amen. Okay, another way. Sorry, it's going to be short and effective. So they have way in my that kind of way, in my notes. Okay, another way the Holy Spirit help us, is through a yielded vessel, okay? It is the same Holy Spirit who uses another person to help us, okay? Encourages us and speak life to us. Okay, one great example in the Bible is a person named Ruth. Remember Ruth, right? You guys read Ruth before, right? I believe Ruth was empowered by the Holy Spirit to minister to her mother-in-law, Naomi. God will use anyone, whether you are a Gentile or a Jew or black or white, yeah? If there's a need and God sees your heart and your availability and not your ability, not your human strength or how smart or intelligent you are or your background, but he looks at your heart, he sees that you're faithful and true and honest, willingness to go the extra mile, yeah? Paying the price. He will use you. So Ruth fits those criteria, yeah? So I'm going to read Ruth, okay? If you want to turn there, you can, but you don't have to. I just going to read. You just go trust me, right? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to read Ruth. Verse 1, chapter 1. Say, now it came to pass, in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Okay. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Okay. Now they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Wow. You know, they went there within 10 years, yeah? Husband and two sons died. You know, we like I said, we just buried our uncle just today. And that was just him. Not two sons or a husband. That was just him. And it felt hurt. And I mean, with the loss that we had, I mean, it's a lot to take, yeah? But imagine when your sons and your husbands, yeah? That's a lot to take. I'm going to do a little bit rabbit, okay? Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, see? So, I'm not sure if Elimelech had asked for godly counsel, yeah? Before they moved to Moab. But because Israel was on drought, and Moab looks a lot greener, on that side, that's the reason why they went. But because of that, verse 3 said Elimelech died. Within 10 years, you know, yeah, that all her mans died. And then in James 4:13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas, do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this and that. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that I know that, oh, you know what? We're going to Vegas. It's better over there, you know. Or we're going to such and such places. Or there, you know, the cost of living is way cheaper. Yeah? Yeah? But us, we know better. right? We know better. We get the counsel of the Holy Ghost. We get instruction from the Holy Ghost. Amen? We are not lazy to go and ask for instruction. High school days are over. So, in a span of about 10 years, Naomi's husband and her two sons died. Okay? And even, you know, it sounds like a Job story to me, yeah? Remember Job, yeah? Okay? Job lost everything except his wife. Okay? Naomi lost a husband and sons, but she had Ruth. Job got struck with boils. Naomi got struck with bitterness. Wow. Concerning Job's wife, okay, why did she say what she said? Saying, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Just curse God and die. Wow. Because I believe she was also filled with bitterness. Yeah? Imagine that, yeah? Why? Because all the things that she relied on in life was gone. Talking about Job's wife. Yeah? Was gone. The wealth, all their servants, her kids, all the things that, you know, her security is all gone. Wow. You see, even if you are a believer, okay, if something happens to you, what happened to her, we can become like her if you don't have someone to lean on, like the Holy Spirit, yeah, or somebody else, someone like Ruth, okay, or even worse, we can become bitter with God, just like her, because she was bitter with God. Why don't we just curse God and die, you know, yeah? But praise God for Naomi. She had Ruth. Okay? I believe Naomi was a good mother-in-law. Okay? I believe that she was pleasant to be around with at first, before anything had happened. I believe she taught her daughter-in-law's faithfulness, hard works. I even believe that she taught them about the ways of the Lord. Yeah? And I believe that's the reason why Ruth was willing to stick with her. Because she loved Naomi. Yeah. You know, in chapter 1, verse 16 of Ruth, he says, after Naomi wanted to send her daughter-in-laws back to where they came from, yeah? Only Orpah went back. Yeah. You know, she went back to her own country. She went back to her own household. She went back to her old ways. Went back to her old gods. Yeah. But Ruth remained with her. So Ruth says, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Okay. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. That's awesome. So that tells me that, you know, Naomi has been, you know, teaching them, okay? But then when she lost her family, she also lost her faith in God, okay? Her heart became bitter. In verse 19 to 22 in the NLT says, so the two of them continued their journey, okay? Ruth and Naomi, okay? Going to Israel. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The woman asked, and don't call me Naomi, she responded. Sounded like there was an offense in that response. Don't call me Naomi. Yeah? This is like, it's an offense to me. Okay? Instead, call me Mara, which is bitterness. For the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. So why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? So she blaming God. The husband should have asked counsel. You know? So I don't think that Ruth knew what she was in for. Because Naomi wasn't pleasant to be around with anymore. You know, bitter. I know how many love bitter melon. I like bitter melon. You know, my sisters, probably Ben, you know, they probably Beth. Huh? Oh, Filipinos, yeah. they love bitter melon. You know, first time I tasted bitter melon, especially the leaves, yeah. It was very bitter. But when I tasted it, I actually could taste with my whole being the bitter. And it was very unpleasant. Yeah? And you know what? That's how Naomi was. Yeah. That's how Naomi was. And that is what is being being around with Naomi. Day and night, every day, Ruth has to deal with it. Right? Don't you think so? It wasn't always good. You know, oh, I'm going to do this. Yes, mom. Okay, mom. I think sometimes they go, oh, man, what have I got myself into? I want to go back. I cannot deal with this anymore. But remember, God has chosen her. Because God has given, they see the character in her. And God will just minister her. You know what? You just stay. The Holy Spirit will just minister to her. No, you stay. You stay with your mother. You stay with her. And you know what? She endured. Yeah? So day in and day out, every day, Ruth has to deal with it. Okay? She would say, I would rather be in my own country with my family. But praise God, she didn't do that, okay? She just kept loving, caring, being faithful. She kept working to provide for both of them, right? 1 Corinthians 13, it's very familiar verses again. The love, 7 and 8, the Amplified says, love bears all things, regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast, enduring difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. Love never fails. It never fades nor ends. Praise God. The Lord will never leave you or forsake you. According to Hebrews 13:5. So Ruth stick with Naomi. And because of that, Naomi begins to trust the Lord again. Okay? She can see the lights at the end of the tunnel. Praise God. Ruth chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, Amplified says, her mother-in-law said to her, that's when she began to see God's blessing again because, you know, they in, day out, you see Ruth going out, laboring for her, yeah, loving her no matter what, yeah. So, She realized that, you know what, God has not abandoned me. God has always been there for me. Yeah? She began to see again. Yeah? She begins to, example is when you, she asked, her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today?" That's in Ruth chapter 2, verse 19-20. She said, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Okay. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord." She began to say, "Oh, you know, bless the Lord." Yeah. Before, blaming God. Yeah. She was bitter. But now she still bless the Lord. Okay. Again, bless the Lord who has not ceased his kindness to the living and the dead. And again, Naomi said to her, "The man is one of our closest relatives, one who has the right to redeem us." Okay? So Naomi begins to give instruction. Okay? She's out of the tunnel now. Out of the tunnel. Okay? She's back. She got the victory. Okay? Then Naomi, her mother-in-law said to Ruth in verse 1, I think it was chapter 3, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not look for security and home for you, so that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, with whose maids you are working, is he not our relative? See now, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. So wash and anoint yourself with olive oil. Then put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But stay out of the man's sight until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, notice the place where he is lying. And go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what to do." Ruth answered her, "I will do everything you say." Amen. So she's giving them instruction now. And of course, we know that they ended up marrying and she had conceived a son. Okay. But you know, if you read on, it was Ruth that gave birth, but it was Naomi who nursed the boy. Yeah. Naomi got her son. Yeah. Yeah. So God restored Naomi through Ruth. Amen? People needs a Ruth. Yeah. People needs a Ruth. Or you yourself can be the Ruth. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. That's it. You guys got something. Yeah. Praise God. You know, we go through a lot. And people like you and I, God needs us to be a Ruth. There are people out there who are hurting, going through a lot. Yeah. And if we are not yielded, we could miss that opportunity. Yeah. Especially this time. Yeah. Praise God.